Hello, can you guys hear me? Are we good? So I'm just gonna warn you. When it comes to women's ministry stuff, normally I'm the one back there where Kenzie is, and I'm putting the mic on the speaker, and I like being back there where no one can see me, but here I am. My name is Becca Frost, and I've been at Athey since the fall of 01. I started coming as a freshman in college, and Brett had been down at the Applegate, and that's where I had been going to church, and then he left, came up here, started, and it just made sense for me to start coming. And the Lord was so good, because I was not in an obedient spot of my life, but I kept coming every Sunday, you know, to make sure that, you know, feeling good, because I checked it off, you know, that made me still a good Christian, because I was there on Sunday. And but then my sophomore year is where the Lord really started changing my heart, and that's when I realized, oh, he's not the angry God that I grew up with in the Baptist church. He's a God that wants to have a relationship with me, and he's just been filling me up ever since. So you guys would all know my husband. He's the one that plays all of the amazing instruments, does all that stuff. He led worship this weekend. I do none of that. He's comfortable talking. I'm not. But my senior year of college, I needed to start doing an internship, and I walked up to Amy Elliott and I said, "Hey, Amy, I'm a senior at Western Baptist." And she said, "I went to Western Baptist." And I said, "Whew, that's bonus points, okay?" And I said, "Could I do like an internship with Athey? Because I kind of need to do that to graduate." And she said, "Yeah." She didn't know what she was getting herself into. But so I've gotten to work with Amy for years now, and it was so awesome. One of my favorite memories of Amy would probably just die laughing. But my internship was really just to kind of follow Amy around and help her, and we did stuff with the high school group, and I was just kind of a gopher for the church, so it was like, you know, whatever we needed, I would go for it. And but Amy and I spent a day in the car where we were running errands, and I think we went through Starbucks drive-thru, Green Burrito drive-thru, McDonald's at that point had just gotten Diet Dr. Pepper on tap, so we were so excited. And there were many other things. I couldn't tell you what work we actually did that today, but it was like, you know, just lots of fun running around. But my role here at Athey is that I am the wedding's operations coordinator, which just means when someone wants to get married here at Athey, I help them get set up with meeting with our pastors, getting them a coordinator, and even getting to coordinate weddings too. And then I get to volunteer alongside my husband in the young adult group. We've been doing that for 10 years now. So it's just been cool to see how the Lord has just been faithful to allow me in a place where I can just pour out on girls of where I didn't start doing well, and just kind of telling them, don't go that direction. The Lord is really good. So about a month and a half ago, Amy called me and she said, "Hey, Becca." And I said, that's a different voice from Amy today. She said, "So what are you doing, you know, like November 5th? And I said, I don't know. And she said, "So you know my study." She's like, "So I was thinking that maybe you could cover it for me." And I was like, "Oh, that's an interesting thought. Sure." And she said, "You know, it's on witnessing, and this is, you know, my heart for it." And I said, "That's awesome." And she said, "All you'd have to do is just teach on obedience." Okay. And I was thinking, I think I might be the poster child of disobedience, so I'm not sure if obedience is the topic I should be doing. Also, right at that time is right when the Lord had kind of been nudging me about diet and exercise, and I was like, oh no, Lord, is this a thing on obedience about, like, exercise? Because I really don't want to talk about that right now. But luckily, I can tell you that's not what tonight's going to be about. So, when you think of obedience, what are things that you first think of? Give me answers. Yeah. Yes. Rules. So one of the things that first came to my mind was dog school. Right? You get your little puppy and they don't do so well, so you send them off to obedience school. Or when it comes to parenting, you know, we want our kids to obey us, all that different stuff. So why not check with Oxford, right? Oxford gives, as a noun, it says it's compliance with an order, request, or law. And as a verb, it says to comply with the command, direction, or request of a person or law. I was like, okay, that just sounds really dry. You know, like when the Lord asks us to obey him, I don't feel like that's what it is. So we went with Webster. What does Webster say? To follow the commands or guidance of, to conform or to comply. And it's still just so stuck with that rule part of it. But the Lord isn't asking us to just follow rules to follow rules. The biblical definition of obedience is doing everything that God has called us to and doing it in love. And also to be, when we come to Christ, we're choosing to obey him, and we come to Christ, we're hearing his words, and then we're putting those words into practice. And just to kind of look at, see like what maybe the world says obedience looks like. So I looked up obedient to authority figures. Good old WikiHow, you know, it's like they give you life lessons on how to do it. They gave you an 8-point thing of how to give obedience to authority. First, pay attention to what they say. Discuss concerns or issues in private. Know how to obey the authority. Understand what is expected of you. Make sure you complete tasks on time. Avoid back talk. Act like you respect them. It doesn't say to actually respect them, it just says to act like you respect them. And never use blind obedience. And I was like, okay, that is definitely not what the Lord is asking us to do. So I kind of went back through it. And here's 8 that I think. We should pay attention to what God says in his word. We should pray about concerns or issues and then listen for his response. We need to know how to obey, which means we have to read his word. We need to understand what's expected, so we should read his word. And complete tasks as the Lord puts them on your heart, meaning don't delay that obedience. Avoid backtalk. That's always a good one. It never works out well when I try to backtalk to the Lord. Respect the Lord and have true faith, like to actually live by God's love and obedience. And the thing is that obedience is all about a heart issue. The world tells us that obedience is just following the rules, but when we're obeying the Lord, it's more about our heart, you know? Like, it's one of the things years ago I read in a parenting book. The instruction was to say, you're obeying me with your words or actions, but you're not obeying me with your heart. And how many times do we see little kids do that? You know, when you say, okay, don't go over there, and they go, okay. Now, is that how we do it sometimes with the Lord? Yes, you know? Is that really obeying? Not really. You know, that's just us doing the actions and different stuff. One of the ways that is very obvious when it comes to that whole obeying by the actions but not actually doing it is the example of Jonah. The Lord calls Jonah and he goes the opposite direction, right? So the Lord kind of takes some extreme measures to kind of get him going back the right direction. Jonah's like, okay, fine. You know, like he does it, but does he do it joyfully? You know, like is he stoked about it? I just like finished studying like this in September, and it was like, I get through it all, you know, and it's like, okay, and then he's angry. You know, they all repent. It's like, this is the part where he should be rejoicing, and instead he goes out of the town and is pouting and is angry, and then he gets angry about the plant, all that different stuff, and the story ends. And I'm like, Lord, what happened? Like, where was Jonah's heart after that? You know, the Lord doesn't let us know. Like, he just kind of, it's a cliffhanger, and it's like, man, that's a bummer. Like, that's not where we want to be with the Lord. We want to be doing it out of love with that, you know, and not wanting something in return. It's just our act of obedience is back to the Lord. In Hebrews 5:8, it says, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation for all who obey him. And Jesus is our example of obedience. And that's the thing that we need to look at for obedience is Jesus. And because of his obedience, we have salvation. You know, all of that fits into place. And This last Saturday, I do a young adult Bible study with the girls, and this last Saturday, we are talking about what it means to be a disciple of the Lord. And so many times we become a Christian, and we do, you know, we're going to church, and we're in Bible studies, and then we get comfortable, you know, and we still say, well, yeah, I'm a Christian, but what does it actually mean to be a disciple of the Lord? You know, it means obeying him and obeying his word. And how many times do we get comfortable in our sin and go, yeah, but the Lord loves me. It's okay. That's that little part, you know, and we just kind of let it linger there, but that's not obeying the Lord. And he sets this perfect example for us. I want to read to you guys from Matthew 4, and I'm going to actually read it in the Amplified version, just because I love the way it, like, expands on all of it. And it says, as Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he noticed two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to me, or said to them, follow me as my disciples, accepting me as your master and teacher, and walking the same path of life that I walk, and I will make you fishers of men. Immediately they left their nets and followed him, becoming his disciples, believing and trusting in him, and following his example. And going on further from there, he noticed two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called to them to follow him as his disciples. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him, becoming his disciples, believing and trusting in him, and following his example. And in these verses, I have those immediately's underlined and highlighted, because when the Lord calls us, do we immediately obey or do we disobey? And that's something that we're constantly working on with my sweet 7-year-old daughter. She's very strong-willed. And we are constantly having to say, delayed obedience is disobedience. And that's something that sometimes I feel like we have to remember in our walks with the Lord. You know, when the Lord presses on our heart and he says, I want you to get this out of your life, or I want you to go and talk to that person, or I want to meet with you in the morning, do we delay that obedience and go, I don't think I really heard you right on that, Lord? Or do we go, okay, I'm going to do it? And are we willing to be messy in it? You know, are we willing to maybe fail in our obedience? Because the Lord knows our heart and that different stuff. I get paralysis of analysis. Type A personality here, through and through. So if I'm not going to do it right and perfect, I'm probably not going to start, like, at all, you know? So that's one of those things that I'm like, oh, Lord, I can't do that, so I'm just not even going to try, you know? But that's not what the Lord's asking me to do. He's just saying, I just want you to obey me. You know, I'm calling you on this, and I want you to obey me. And so being a disciple is really just following Christ's example of what it looks like. He obediently went to the cross. He obediently lived his life to honor the Father, and all of Christ's parts of his life, it all came from humility and love. And that's really, when we have to obey, it means we have to be humble. And so many times we're like, oh yeah, we're humble. And then someone's like, hey, can you scrub that? And you're like, why do I have to scrub it? You scrub it, you know? Or any big things, you know, little things, all that different stuff. Sometimes we realize, wow, our pride is really in the way. But the Lord didn't have that. He was humble, and he did things out of his humility and his love to be able to take care of others. We see the disciples, you know, arguing about who's better, and Christ is right there, you know. We see the disciples saying, I'm not washing feet, you wash feet. I did it last time, you know. And what does Christ do? He takes off his outer garments, and he washes their feet. You know, like, he didn't care about the status symbol. He didn't care about, he just wanted to meet people right where they were at and to tell them that they needed a Savior and that they were loved. And our actions are based on what's in our hearts, you know? Like, when we obey with just actions but not the love that's in our hearts, it's not really obeying. It's just a check. The Lord's desiring for us to do it out of love and for us to know that it comes from him and that he loves us and he cares for us. And the thing is kids will especially call you on the carpet. You know, if you're doing something and you're just faking it, they'll be like, why are you doing that? And you're like, what do you mean? You know? But they totally are like, no, you don't actually like that, do you? Oh, yes, I love these lima beans. Mmm. You know? And they're like, no, you don't. The Lord sees us right at the same time, you know, when we're like, Lord, do you see what I'm doing? I'm serving these people, and I'm wiping babies' bums on the weekend in church, and do you see what I'm doing? Do you see what I'm doing? And he's like, yep, I see what you're doing, but it didn't come from the right heart. And that's where we need to make sure that our obedience is coming from. We can turn to Colossians 3. I had a friend years ago that said she always remembered how to get to the Ephesians books with the Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians by remembering to go eat popcorn. So if you ever get those books confused, there's a little tidbit for you. But Colossians 3, verse 22 says, "Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of the heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men." And I love that it's just called straight out. Don't do eye service. You know, like, actually do it from your heart. Like, actually obey the Lord. Do this right and do it heartily. And I love that Brett always points out that it says heartily, not hardly, because it's kind of a point, you know, that's kind of an important part. But to remember that when the Lord calls us to do things and we're doing them, that we're not doing it just to check off the box. We're doing it to serve him because we love him, because he died for us, because he's our Savior, and all of that different stuff that comes with that. If we back up to verses 16 and 17, still there in chapter 3, it says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." And I think that just kind of, you know, brings like what obedience looks like. You know, it's like being together as a church, admonishing one another, doing it out of love, but also being willing to go out into the world where the Lord is calling us to share his love so people can know that. And the big thing is that when we're out in the world and we live our lives, if we're obeying the Lord, people are going to see that. They're not going to necessarily know what that is, but they're going to go, huh, her life looks different. Like, when the company's doing things that are maybe a little shady, she doesn't. I wonder why that is, you know? Or like, when everyone else is bad-mouthing so-and-so, she always has an uplifting word to say. You know, what is that for? The thing is that there's all different parts of our lives that are constantly either something of obedience or disobedience. That's our choice. You know, the Lord has given us this free will and we have a choice. And so we can go into work and go, okay, I'm going to obey the Lord in my work. Or we can go into school and say, you know, I'm going to obey the Lord in my schooling or my marriage or in parenting. Or we can say we're going to disobey. It's one way or another. And that really all starts with our morning. How do we start off our day? Are we ready to obey what social media says? Are we ready to obey what the news channel is saying is going on in the world? Or are we ready to obey the word? You know, what's the first thing that we fill ourselves up with? Backing up into the Old Testament, in Jeremiah chapter 7. This is where the Lord's kind of speaking to the prophet Jeremiah, just kind of telling him, like, this is why things have gone wrong. Like, this is what's happening. And he said, "For I did not speak to your fathers or command them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices, but this is what I commanded them. Obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk in all of the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. Yet they did not obey or incline their ears, but followed the counsels and the dictates of their evil hearts and went backward and not forward. Since the day that your fathers came out of the land of Egypt until this day, I even sent to you all of my servants and prophets, daily rising up early and sending them. Yet they did not obey me or incline their ear, but stiffened their neck. They did worse than their fathers. Therefore you shall speak all of these words to them, but they will not obey you. You shall also call to them, but they will not answer to you." That's just like a huge bummer, right? Like, the Lord's telling him, like, I tried telling you guys to obey me. You know, I put this out there because I wanted it to be well with you guys, but you chose not to. And I think this is something that we need to remember, like, the Lord's calling for us to obey him, and we have a choice. You know, we can either go, yeah, maybe not today. You know, we can't pick and choose when we want to follow the Lord, or pick and choose the verses that we want to apply to our life. Like, okay, I'm going to obey that one, but not so much that one. Like, that whole forgiveness thing, Lord, you know what they did. I mean, that's pretty big. I shouldn't have to forgive them for that. But the Lord's like, you know, he's given us these rules, as the world would say, that we need to follow and obey. But we do see glimmers of hope of those that did try to follow the Lord, especially in the Old Testament. And I loved that last time Amy started talking about Nehemiah and his wall, because that had just been something that I had been thinking about for a few weeks. Like, David and I were able to go to Israel last year, so we got to see this wall that I'd heard Brett talking about forever, you know? And you look down over the side, it's filled with garbage. You know, you're like, that's it? This is Nehemiah's wall? But the thing is, it's still there, you know? Nehemiah's wall is still there. Now, is it grand and amazing, you know, like the walls that Solomon built or that David built or any of those? No. But Nehemiah obeyed the call in his heart to go and do it. And what if Nehemiah had, like, heard about what was going on with Judah and with the Jews and had just gone, that stinks. Bummer. I'm with the king over here, so, you know, I'm good to go. But it's a bummer for them. But instead he said, like, you know, he, like, went into praying, and then the king's like, hey, what's going on with you? And he's like, just tells him, you know, like, that's right there is obeying the Lord by even being willing to put his life, his job on the line by telling this king, you know, I'm not coming into your presence with this, like, you know, joyful spirit that I should have before a king because of what's going on with my people. And then even asks for the help to do it, you know, and then goes and does it. And while he's there, he boldly speaks when he needs to speak. And once he gets there, he boldly goes out at night to go look at the walls. Like, during wartime, would you really want to go out at night by yourself to go check out some walls that are broken down? Like, that really means you have no protection. But he obeys and he does it. And then he's obeying by bringing the people together to do it. And they start building, and he's obeying by helping them build. But then he even continues to obey when there's the rumors of fighting coming, you know? They've got, you know, the building tools in one hand and a sword in the other hand. Like, I don't see any of us having to build and fight at the same time, but that's what the Lord's calling us to do, is to obey and be ready and do that. And because he does that, in Nehemiah 8, we see that the people gather to actually hear the law of Moses. And that in Nehemiah 9, that the people start confessing their sins. And then Nehemiah 10, they recommit to obey, you know? Now, we gotta give them a little slack, you know, because they didn't do it. But at least they gave us an example, you know? But the thing is that they were trying. You know, they said it. They were ready to obey. And that's the thing, is that we just have to get in there. We have to get messy. We have to be ready and just go ahead and obey. Let's turn to Luke. I'm going to take you guys all over the place tonight, so sorry if it's scattered, but that's me in all truthfulness. In Luke 17, we see the story of the 10 lepers, and Luke is the only one that actually covers this, which I think is kind of cool, because since it's, you know, dealing with lepers, and I don't know, Luke's, you know, the doctor, that whole business, so it's obvious that he's kind of like want that inside scoop on that, but in Luke 17 and verse 11, it says, "Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' So when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go, show yourselves to the priests.' And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God, fell down on his face at his feet, gave him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the other 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." And I just love that once again, it's just Jesus casting aside, you know, the world's expectations, and he's willing to go into Samaria, you know, like a good godly Jew would never go there. But Jesus doesn't care about that stuff. He goes in, you know, and it says that as he came into that village, that the 10 men, it says that they stood afar off, you know, like society had told them, you can't be around anyone. There were rules in place, you know, all this different stuff. And yet, do they stand afar off and just let Jesus go on by? No, they call out for him, you know, like they know they need him and they're asking for his mercy. And in verse 14, it says that Jesus tells them to go and show themselves to the priest. This is a lot like the story of Naaman, you know, like where he was supposed to go and be cleansed and do that part too. So it's like, I love when it keeps, when you have those Old Testament and the New Testament, but here it is with Jesus. And I have highlighted as they went. So it wasn't that Jesus said, "You're healed. Now go show the priest." He just said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priests." Now, if you were a leper and you had been in a village where you'd been a leper and someone said, "Go show yourself to the priest," in my sinful heart, I would be like, "Why am I gonna go do that? He already knows that I have leprosy. You know, it's obvious. Hello, look at me. Lost my arm over there." You know, like, but that's not what they did. They go, Jesus said it. They went, right? So we can give them bonus points, all 10 of them, bonus points for actually obeying and doing it. But I love that it says, and that when one of them saw that he was healed, he returned and with a loud voice glorified God. We don't even know, like, technically if he made it all the way to the priest and then he saw he was healed or where exactly it was, but he just turned back and he glorifies the Lord. And I love his posture. He glorifies the Lord in a loud voice, and he fell down on his face at his feet, and he gives him thanks, you know, all while being a Samaritan. And I think so many times that the enemy wants to lie to us and go, "You're the Samaritan. You can't be close to the Lord. Like, you've disobeyed too many times." But the thing is that God's grace is bigger than that. You know, like, if we're willing to obey him, he's willing to be right there with us. And we can come, and we can have that loud voice, and we can glorify him, and we can do all these different things. And verse 19, it says, "Rise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." And when you look at the, like, well, when the really smart people look at these words, and they, like, tell you actually what they mean, when it says that your faith has made you well, he's not talking about the leprosy part. This is like a salvation part. Like, he's talking about his faith. Like, Jesus is telling him, "You're with me now." You know, like, this is more than just the leprosy thing. This is more about your heart. And that's where the Lord wants to remind us, is that he's like, "I see you. You know, I see your heart. I know where it is. And I'm here with you. And I love you. And I care for you. And I'm calling you to these things because I love you." You know, he's calling us to obey because he doesn't want us in the slum of sin, you know? He doesn't want us to keep disobeying him because it only hurts us and it hinders us and it holds us back from being able to serve him in beautiful ways. And we're gonna go back to the Old Testament again. I used to be so terrified of the Old Testament because it was like, just like rules in there. God's kind of angry. But the more time you spend in it, you realize, oh, you see his goodness so much. But in Deuteronomy chapter 6, is that where I want? I feel like that's not where I want. Because this says Deuteronomy 6, 28 through 33. There's only 25 verses there, so wonder what I was talking about there, huh? Hold on. Wonder if it's Seriously, guys, what did I do? I don't know. Here's what I have. Careful to do as the Lord commanded you. You shall not chew the right hand or left. Who knows that verse by heart? Anyone? Anyone? Five? Is it chapter five? Yes. Chapter five. Typing. Obviously, I need to take some lessons on that one, too. Okay. Deuteronomy 5, verse 28. It says, "Then the Lord heard the voice of your words when you spoke to me, and the Lord said to me, 'I have heard the voice of the words of this people, which they have spoken to you. They are right in all that they have spoken. Oh, that they had such a heart in them, that they would fear me and always keep all my commandments, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Go and say to them, return to your tents. But as for you, stand here by me, and I will speak to you all of the commandments, the statutes, the judgments which you shall teach them, that they may observe them in the land which I am giving them to possess. Therefore, you shall be careful to do as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right or to the left. You shall walk in all of the ways which the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live and that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess." This is like right with that whole Ten Commandments thing. You know, the thing that we get a little nervous about because we're like, do we follow it? Do we not follow it? Is that Old Testament, you know, and the New Testament, you know, all that different stuff. And our world says, get it out of everything because, you know, why wouldn't you want 10 good rules that make people not kill people? Oh, yeah, it's horrible stuff. But all of this, like, this part is given. So remember when we were, like, reading in that Jeremiah part and it says that they went backward? Like, that's not where we want to go. Like, because right here in Deuteronomy, the Lord had already told them, don't go to the right, don't go to the left. He wants us to be moving forward, you know? And I'm pretty sure backward would also be that bad thing, you know? Like, he's wanting us to be keep moving forward with him. And the Lord is telling this and saying, you know, like, do these things because I want it to be good for you. I want this for you, you know? Like, the Lord doesn't say, I don't want you to not have fun, so I want you to obey me. You know, like he says, I love you and I want you to obey me. As all of this continues on in Deuteronomy, then in verse 1 of chapter 11, it says, "Therefore you shall love the Lord your God and keep his charge, his statutes, his judgments, and his commandments always." I love that it says, you shall love the Lord your God. Because if you're loving the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your mind, all of these other things fall into place. And it's repeated so many times in these chapters of Deuteronomy. The Lord kind of gives like a little part in verses 22 through 28 says, "For if you carefully keep these commandments, which I command you to do, to love the Lord your God." I mean, he just said it, so like, but he's really gracious. He repeats it again, you know, like, if you're confused about what I'm talking about loving me, to walk in his ways, and to hold fast to him, then the Lord will drive out these nations from before you, and you will dispossess greater and mightier nations than yourselves. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads shall be yours, from the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even to the western sea shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand against you. The Lord your God will put the dread of you and the fear of you upon all of the land where you tread, just as he has said to you. Behold, I set before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I commanded you today, and the curse if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord, but turn aside from which way I have commanded you to go after other gods which you have not known. And it's one of those things, like the Lord's like, okay, I really want you to do this because I love you, but just know that there is a blessing and a curse that goes with it, you know? And that's just the natural consequences that comes with it. When we choose to obey the Lord, even when times are tough, we're still right there with him. You know, he's still loving us. He's still carrying us. And when we choose to disobey and there's those consequences, he's still right there with us, but it's that, you know, smudge in our eyes that we're going, oh, man, you know, like, and then it just kind of life gets a little bumpier. But he so desires for us to just to do well. Deuteronomy 12:28 says to observe and obey all of these things which I command you. And then in 15:5 it says, only if you carefully obey the voice. Like, the Lord keeps saying it again and again, you know, like, just obey, you know. And for him to say it this many times in Deuteronomy, and he continues to say it all the way through the word, I think it's something he wants us to do, you know. Like, it's one of those things that you're like, huh, he said that a lot. I wonder if that's kind of, like, important or something. But Romans... Chapter 5. In verse 19 it says, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. And actually, let's continue on. In verse 20 it says, moreover, the law entered the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. And that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through the righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I love journaling because my brain remembers nothing. The young adult girls will tell you, I have no memory of names, none whatsoever. It's like I meet a girl, I'm so excited, I introduce myself, they introduce themselves, and I've tried everything. I've done the, like, say their names three times before you walk away, you know, all the different things, nothing. One time I finally was like, I've got this, I've got the name. Ella's already laughing because it's her friend. And I said, it was so nice to meet you tonight, Stephanie. And she's looking at me and she's like, and I'm like, that's not your name, is it? And she's like, it's Heather. Like, I totally thought I had it. But with journaling, I love that I can journal it out because then those things I want to remember are actually there. And on my October 14th, here I was like studying all these different things, and I wrote out this verse because I was like, oh man. But you know, like this one man's disobedience, by Adam's disobedience, sin enters the world, you know? But by one man, Jesus, it's all covered and taken care of. And then October 17th, Brett's teaching, and then starts going over this, and he starts reading Romans 5, 19 through 21, and I'm like, and then all of a sudden he goes, man, I don't even know why I just shared that. Anyways, back to it, and I was like, oh, that was for me. You know, like, that was for me to, like, kind of remind me, like, yeah, this whole obedience thing that Amy asked you to teach about, it really is what you're supposed to be teaching about. So that's just one of those cool things. So if you're not a journaler, maybe be a journaler. Because if you don't have brain capacity like some of us, it really helps to really just see the Lord's goodness, you know, as he keeps showing us these different things. And the thing is that when Amy first said obedience, it was like, oh, okay. Man, when you start studying something, that's usually when the Lord is then like, let's obey, you know, or like whatever it is. It's one of those things like, Lord, teach me patience. Nope, never mind. I didn't actually mean that. I didn't, you know, you're like trying to backpedal because you know if you ask for patience, then that means you're going to have to do something that has to deal with patience. So when she said obedience, I was like, okay, oh, but that's a heavy one. You know, like who wants to come in and tell everyone you need to obey or it doesn't go good for you? You know, I'm like, but that right there is a lie from the enemy. It is a good thing that the Lord calls us to obey. We should be encouraged that the Lord cares enough that he wants us to obey. And so we could really get discouraged or burdened by my bumbling tonight. But the thing is that that's not the Lord's heart. His heart is that he wants us for our hearts to be purified and for us to be encouraged, knowing that as we love him, we can obey him and how that then affects our witness to the world. And in 1 Peter, verse 22, it says, let me back up a little bit. It says, "Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable if, because of conscience towards God, one endures grief, suffering wrongly. For what credit is it if, when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For to this you will be called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps. He who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. He who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return, and when he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. Who he himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." And I just love these verses because it's really talking about how Christ is that perfect example, you know? And he went to the extreme of obeying and like doing all of that. And the thing is that we don't have to do this alone. We have the Holy Spirit with us, you know? He's ready to come alongside of us. And I love that on Tuesday mornings that Judy's starting to teach on an ever-present help, and she's been really discussing about, you know, the Holy Spirit and how he's there and ready with us. Because if we try to obey on our own, it's a big flop, you know? Back to that whole diet thing. Anytime you try to, you know, hit the ground running, day one of eating well, you make it through breakfast, and you're like, yeah, I did it. Maybe you even got a little workout in there. But then by lunch, you see the candy bowl. And you're like, oh, but it's just one, you know? But it's that thing that we do in life. Like, if we go, oh, I obeyed the Lord. I read my Bible this morning. And I even got up 5 minutes earlier to do it. And then we get angry about something else, you know? And we go, later in the day, we go, well, I don't want to obey him on that. That's not really that important, you know? We constantly are having these choices, but we can ask the Lord to help us, you know? We can ask his Spirit, hey, I really want to obey in this yucky area of my life. Can you help me? Or, you know, I really want to obey and start reading the Word every day. Or, you know, whatever those things are, we can ask the Spirit to help us. And he's so good to actually do it. Paul writes to different groups and people, and you just see through his different letters, he's complimenting them on their obedience. And it's a lot of times it's like, I've heard of the love that you have, you know, for Christ and for doing these different things. And how cool would it be that, you know, someone, I don't know, somewhere else, wrote to Brett and said, hey, I've heard of those Athey Creekers and the love that they have for Christ and their obedience to the Word. Like, right? Wouldn't that be sweet? Like, but the thing is that Jesus didn't come and then say to us, so I've got a few suggestions, you know, on how to do things. He came boldly and said, those who love me are going to follow my commandments, just black and white, you know, like he didn't like kind of tiptoe around it or any of those different things. And we'll finish up in John 14. John 15 has a, I said 14, and we're going to be there, but we're also going to be in 15. But John 15 has a really special place in my heart, because for the last few years, as each new year comes around, I really pray and ask the Lord, like, for him to give me a specific word to just kind of, like, pray through, you know, through that year. And in 2015, he gave me the word abide, and I was like, okay, it's kind of interesting word, but sure, you know, like, let's go with it. And I didn't realize that I could spend an entire year in one chapter, you know, and like keep coming back to it and keep seeing something again and again and again. But it's like, I mean, my chapter 15, it's highlighted every time it says abide, you know, and I'm like, oh, there's more pink on the page than there is red, you know. But it's one of those cool things that, and as Jess was singing tonight about abiding, I was like, interesting chapter, you know, John 14, 15, okay, Lord. And I didn't even call Jess to tell her, you know, so it was so perfect. I love when he does that stuff. But in John 14, verse 15, he says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you see him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. And I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. A little while longer, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me, because I live, you will live also. And at that day, you will know that I am the Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep his word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and will make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. And that last verse cuts a lot. When he says, he who does not love me does not keep my words. Like, that's where the Lord's saying, you got to keep my word. You know, you got to obey it. Because if you're not obeying it, then you're not loving me. And they really do hand in hand. And for us to then try to go in the world and try to love others to bring them to Christ, and we're not obeying him, it's not going to work. And, but I just love how he keeps talking about that. You know, like he says, for those who do love me, you know, they're going to obey. They're going to do this. And that's where the thing is the Lord knows your heart. He knows the love that you have for him. And he knows whether you're just beginning to love him or you've loved him for years and your love is huge for him. Either way, he's going to be alongside of you. And he says that he's got the Holy Spirit here with us. And then in chapter 15, I love that it's right after he said, you know, like, if you love me, you're going to do these things. And then chapter 15 is all, he says, if you abide in me, I'll abide in you. You know, it's like he just keeps saying it again and again. It's like, abide, 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 abide. And you're like, so he's going to abide with me if I abide with him. You know, like it's such an easy and good promise for us to remember that we're not doing this on our own. When he calls us to obey, he doesn't just go, good luck. You know, he's given us his word for us to know how to obey and what that looks like. And we're always obeying, whether that we're obeying Christ or whether we're obeying our own sinful spirit. And whether that's like obeying a diet plan or obeying the speeding laws that are out there or any other laws, whether we're obeying by loving those around us or by obeying by actually loving Christ in our words and our actions, but not just to check it off, when we're actually doing those things out of love. That's where, you know, that beauty of obeying actually comes. So looking back at those, the wiki-how, you know, ideas of how to do it, we can just know that we can obey easily. Like, we don't have to follow the world's 8-point plan of how to obey authority. Like, we can just know that the Lord's here with us and he's ready to help us because we have the word and that he's put these parameters in place because he loves us and he knows how much trouble we can get ourselves into. And if we just obey that call in our life, it's amazing. One of the things, if you would have told me when I was 18 that at 36 I would be talking to 18-year-olds and telling them to follow Jesus, I would be like, that's funny. Also, at 18, if you would have told my speech professor that I would be up here talking, he would have said, no way. Because I think I got up there and was like, okay, today I'm going to talk to you. I mean, it was horrible. It was like, he was like, public speaking's probably not going to be your thing. And I was like, I know, but it's a requirement. I got to take your class. He was sweet, so nice, very gracious Christian man. Thank you, Mr. Trammell. but knowing that now, looking at my life and looking that I get to be involved with these, and the fact that this is obeying the Lord of being willing to step in on a Tuesday night and hang out with college kids is like the coolest thing, you know? Like, and someone told David and I, they said, man, we just love the obedience that you guys have had for 10 years of hanging out with college people. And it was like, that's obedience? You know, like, this is cool. This is really fun. And there's the times that I'm like, Lord, I don't know, are you actually using me in this? Am I actually supposed to be here? And every time I start to doubt, that's the week that the Lord brings in some girl and goes, man, you know, 2 weeks ago when you said fill in the blank, and I'm like, no, don't remember saying that. They're like, well, then the Lord, and I'm like, because I obeyed you those 2 weeks ago and came and was ready to serve. Once again, your word was shared with people, you know? And I would encourage you guys to look at your life, wherever the Lord's called you to be, whether that's, you know, in a medical office or in an accounting office or whatever, you know, plumber, or maybe it's a stay-at-home mom, or maybe you're a grandma and, you know, like doing, grandmas seriously amaze me because it's like they still discipline and yet still give candy. And I'm like, my mom was just here. My mom and dad were visiting for the weekend because I had a big wedding. David was leading. I was like, my mom said, yeah, we kind of had hot chocolate before lunch. And I was like, you would never have let me have hot chocolate before lunch. Yeah. But because, you know, grandmas just have a special way. And there's something that my mom can say to Christy and she goes, okay, grandma. And if I would have said that, I would have been like, no way, you know, like, but all that to say is that, actually, I don't know why I said that, but see, the brain, it's just whoop, gone. Just to encourage you guys to look that wherever the Lord has you right now, to just obey, you know, like say, okay, Lord, like, and ask that tough question of, Lord, where am I disobeying you? It's kind of a scary one, but at the same time, it's also good because you want that out, you know, like, and maybe it's a coworker that you've been like kind of skirting around and not wanting to talk because maybe they're a little abrasive or, you know, different stuff. But, and while it would be delayed obedience, at your heart, the Lord's like, I see it. I see where you're going with that. You know, like, I see that you love me and that you're ready to obey me. So, amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I'm just so thankful for your word. I thank you that you come alongside of us and you're so ready to point us in the right direction, Lord, that you don't drag us in the right direction, but that you're right there with us, just willing to let us choose to obey you. Lord, you set your son to give us a perfect example, and we're so thankful for the grace and salvation that he gave us. And I just pray that in the next week that each of us would just look in our lives and look in those areas of where we've been disobedient. And even in places that maybe we don't even really realize that we've been disobedient, Lord. And I do just pray that our obedience would be a witness to you. It would be a witness of the love that you have poured out on us and that you have saved us for eternal life. And Lord, I do just pray that also that the word obey would just come across as a get to and not a have to when we read the word, Lord, and that we would just be encouraged knowing that that obey is there because you love us so much. And I just pray for any area that I misrepresented you, that you would cover that, Lord, and that just all of this would just be to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.